Chapter 13. Jim Takes Up the Tale. Ben Gunn grabbed my arm as soon as he saw the flag.
"Jim Hawkins," he said, "there are your friends sure enough."
I shook my head.
"It's more likely to be the mutineers,"
Ben snorted.
"Silver would never fly a British flag. His colors are the skull and crossbones of the Jolly Roger. No, that's your friends at old Captain Flint's stockade."
"Then I must join my friends," I said, taking a step toward the flag.
Ben pinched my arm.
"Then Ben Gunn is a fly. Don't forget me now, boy. You can find me where you found me today. I've a right fine proposition for your friends once you've told them all I've said."
I nodded, and no more was said since a cannonball tore through the trees just then and pitched itself in the sand near us. I ran toward the distant flag, and Ben ran well away. I got as close as I could to the stockade, but had to stop and wait for the rain of cannon fire to end. I could see the Española anchored in the distance flying the Jolly Roger. Finally, it seemed the Española had run out of cannonballs, for the shooting ceased, and I crept toward the stockade. I was greeted warmly by my companions and soon told my tale. Then I looked around our new dwelling. The log house was mostly empty, with a single stone slab for a hearth and a rusty iron bucket to contain a fire. Above that, a hole in the roof was all the chimney we had. A cold evening breeze blew through the chinks in the rough building and carried sand with it.
We soon had sand in our eyes, sand in our teeth, sand in our supper, and sand dancing in the kettle.
The breeze also blew the fire smoke away from the chimney hole and into our eyes and throats.
The captain kept us busy at work, so we didn't have time to dwell on the unpleasant housing. He divided us into watches. My watch would be with the doctor and Gray. The squire, Hunter, and Joyce would set the next watch. Though we nearly staggered with exhaustion, two men were sent out for firewood, while two more dug a grave for Redruth. The doctor was named Cook, and I was to watch the door. The captain moved from each man to the next to keep up our spirits and lend a hand when it was needed. As I stood by the door, the doctor joined me to rest his eyes from the smoke.
"Is this Ben Gunn trustworthy?" he asked. "I'm not even sure if he's sane," I answered.
"He is," the doctor said. "A man left here 3 years alone would be a bit odd. That's human nature. But he survived, and that takes a man. Was it cheese you said he wanted?"
"Yes, sir, cheese."
"Well, Jim," the doctor said, "it turns out I have a bit of Parmesan cheese in my snuff box. It's made in Italy. I'll give it to Ben Gunn."
We buried Redruth before supper and stood round him in silence a good while. Then we ate our pork and talked about our situation. We had plenty of arms and water, but not much food.
"Still, we're not done yet," the doctor said. "We've already reduced their number, and they're camping in the swamps where fever is likely to get them soon. Rum will make them stupid well before then. We might prevail yet if they tire of the trouble and just sail away."
The captain sighed then.
"First ship that ever I lost."
Finally, we settled down to sleep, and exhaustion took me away. I was awakened the next morning by a bustle and the sound of voices.
"Flag of truce," I heard someone say. "Silver himself."
I jumped up and ran to a loophole in the wall to see what new surprises waited.